whose convoy of aid workers was recently targeted in Gaza, says the Israeli attack was systematic and purposeful. And Iran criticizes the U.S. and France for blocking a U.N. Security Council statement to condemn the Israeli strike on the Iranian embassy in Syria.
Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mews. Thanks for joining us.
Nearly 6 months into the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza, the regime keeps pressing ahead with its onslaught across the besieged strip. Some 62 Palestinians have been killed, and scores more injured in Israeli airstrikes and shelling over the past 24 hours. The regime forces also continued their aerial raids on the city of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. They say that the majority of these attacks were focused on the Al-Amal neighborhood, leaving a number of people dead. Meanwhile, Palestinian fighters are putting stiff resistance to Israeli troops on the ground in some areas. They have attacked Israeli soldiers and vehicles with mortars in the eastern and the southern parts of Gaza City. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, the death toll from the Israeli war has now topped 33,000. Over 75,600 Palestinians have also been wounded, while thousands more remain unaccounted for. Israel is facing denunciation over the killing of international aid workers associated with the U.S.-based charity World Central Kitchen. The head of the NGO says the Israeli regime is responsible for the death of his staff in Gaza. We earlier discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen.
News review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. On this segment of the program, the founder of the U.S.-based charity World Central Kitchen has criticized Israel over the killing of his staff in Gaza, saying the regime's forces systematically targeted a convoy carrying aid workers. Jose Andres said that cars were hit purposefully, one after the other, in a civilian area under the control of the Israeli army. He held Israel responsible for the killing, which he said was not the outcome of a bad luck situation. He added the Israeli forces were well informed about the convoy's movement and that the cars were clearly marked with the charity's logo. The strike killed 6 foreign aid workers and their Palestinian translator. 60% of non-governmental aid getting into the besieged strip is from the World Central Kitchen. The charity has suspended its operations in Gaza following the attack. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have journalist and commentator Tashrikh Trubadi joining us from Cape Town, also a member of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement. Booker Ngessa is joining us from Nairobi. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Trubadi in Cape Town. The Israelis, since this Gaza genocide started, have killed around 200 aid workers. That is no accident, is it?
It isn't. And there's a couple of issues, I think, with the way in which the story is also being covered, in that it, of course, is an absolute tragedy. I have no doubt that these aid workers were good souls. They were good human beings that had been determined to bring relief to Palestinians that are having to endure a genocide at the moment in Gaza. And while their death, as in any death, is a tragedy, I do think we need to contrast the Western government responses here to the realities that Palestinian lives are not quite as equally important, in the outrage that we're now seeing here from some of these governments. These governments, of course, also now finding their voice because of the domestic responses in some of these countries that are increasingly now leading to a push for not just a ceasefire, but holding these governments accountable for funding and propping up the Zionist entity. So there's a very serious and a big worry about the manner in which the humanity of the Palestinians aren't quite seen as much as we've now seen with these aid workers. I do think there was an agenda here with this particular attack, especially as we increasingly now talking about a potential escalation with boots on the ground in Rafah. So I think it was more than deliberate. It was seeking to send a message.
Right, and let's cross over to Mr. Ngessa. As we were mentioning in our intro, around 60% of non-governmental aid getting into the besieged strip was reported to be from the World Central Kitchen. As a result of the attack, the charity has suspended its operations in Gaza. Is that what the Israelis were aiming for?
First of all, the situation in Gaza is very dire. The famine situation is very, very dire. And this is because this is not a natural disaster, but it is a situation that has been artificially created by the Israel regime, and within its policy of even, you know, attacking humanitarian organizations who dare to correct, you know, the famine has been caused by the genocidal attacks on Gaza. The Zionist regime, who is actually not just complicit, but advancing the policy of genocide against Palestinian people, do not want aid to reach where it is needed.
Thank
most.
You, gentlemen. That was Bukharin Guest, a member of the Kenya Palestine Solidarity Movement, joining us from Nairobi. And thanks to journalist and commentator Tashreeq Truebody, speaking to us from Cape Town. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review.
The spokesman of the Al-Quds Brigade, the military wing of the Islamic Jihad movement, says the resistance is determined to continue the Al-Aqsa flood operation until final victory. Abu Hamza said the resistance operations on the ground reflect its full rejection of the Israeli plan to occupy the Gaza Strip. He added the axis of resistance is now repelling the Israeli regime's attacks in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. In a statement released on Thursday, the Al-Quds Brigade said it had targeted two Israeli contingents in the southern city of Khan Yunis. Some Israeli military equipment and vehicles, including a tank and a drone, were also hit in the same city. The Israeli military has already confirmed the death of nearly 260 of its troops since the regime's ground invasion of Gaza. Palestinian groups, however, say that the regime is hiding the actual number of its casualties to avoid public anger. Iran criticizes the U.S., Britain, and France for blocking a U.N. Security Council statement to condemn the Israeli strike on the Iranian embassy in Syria. In a social media post, Iran's permanent mission to the U.N. called the move double standard and said it undermined the credibility of the Security Council. It also said the blocking set a dangerous precedent. Earlier, Russia said that Washington and London refused to discuss the draft statement on the Iranian embassy attack. On Tuesday, most Security Council members, except for the U.S., Britain, and France, condemned the Israeli regime for its airstrike on the Iranian embassy. Monday's attack killed two senior Iranian military commanders and five accompanying officers who were on an advisory mission to Syria. The Secretary General of Palestine Foundation Pakistan, Sabir Abu Maryam, says the West, as usual, is keeping its criminal silence on Israeli atrocities.
The United States, France, UK, and these kinds of Western governments, those are the so-called champion of human rights, so-called the champion of world politics, foreign policy, they are keeping criminal silence. Not only keeping criminal silence, even they are supporting military aid to the Zionist regime against the oppressed people, against the helpless people of Palestine. Those don't have weapon. The people, they don't have weapon, but US and UK supporting and providing the weapon to the Zionist regime against the innocent civilian to Israel. So the other side, they are keeping criminal silence over the condemnation against the Zionist regime. And this is the very biasness. What we say, I always emphasize that, we always say that these are the double standards of the Western governments. But now, I do believe these kind of governments, Biden, Britain, French, they don't have standards. They are not like a human being. They are against the humanity. They are against the peace and stability of the world. They are criminal. They are enemies of humanity. They are enemies of peace. And they are actually responsible for these kind of heinous crime.
Israel's top military intelligence official resigns after taking full responsibility for the failure of the regime's intelligence apparatus in countering Al-Aqsa flood operation on October 7. Amit Sa'ar was head of Amman's research division. He cited illness as the reason for his early resignation. However, Israeli authorities have pushed the majority of the blame for the failure to intercept the events of October 7, 2023 on intelligence officials. Sa'ar had previously expressed his readiness to relinquish his duties once the Israeli war in Gaza was over. At least two other officials have also left their positions vacant in the Israeli military intelligence system since the Palestinian resistance Al-Aqsa flood operation. The Iranian president says the Israeli regime will pay a heavy price for its criminal act of attacking the consular section of Iran's embassy in the Syrian capital. Ibrahim Raisi made the remarks in a phone conversation with the Iraqi Prime Minister, Mohammad Shia al-Sudani. He described the terroristic act of the Zionist regime as a clear violation of the principles of international law governing diplomatic and consular relations. While hailing the pro-Palestine stance of Tehran and Baghdad, Raisi emphasized the need for all Islamic countries to adopt the same approach. Sudani, for his part, denounced the Israeli aggression and said that such criminal act was the result of the constant failures of the occupying regime in the battle against regional resistance forces. He further expressed gratitude for the unwavering support of Iran for efforts to establish peace and stability in Iraq. Iran's besieged volunteer forces have held naval drills in the southern waters of the country to mark International Quds Day. More than 3,000 types of vessels and motorboats have participated in the naval exercise held by the maritime units of besieged in support of the Palestinian people and resistance. The drill was held over an area from the Arvand River in the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman. The parade of the vessels was under the command of the IRGC Navy. Simultaneous drills were also scheduled to be held by resistance groups in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Lebanon. Iranian officials say the clashes between security forces and terrorists in the southeastern province of Sistan and Balochistan have concluded. The IRGC ground forces said 18 assailants were killed following the attacks in the cities of Rask and Chabahar late on Wednesday night. 10 Iranian security forces also lost their lives. According to the IRGC, the terrorists carried out 5 simultaneous attacks against police and military posts in the southeastern province. Local officials said the terrorists were affiliated with Pakistan-based Jaish-e-Alat terror outfit that had carried out several similar attacks in the past. The group claimed responsibility for an attack in December on a police station in Rask that killed at least 11 officers. In January, another attack by the group left a policeman dead. Resistance leaders from Iran, Iraq, Palestine, Lebanon, and Yemen have given a live televised address to a virtual gathering ahead of the International Quds Day. They discussed the Israeli aggression in the Gaza Strip and highlighted the fact that the resistance of Palestinians has revealed the true colors of the Israeli regime. Gisumi Shahmedi explains from Tehran.
Hailing the Palestinians for their brave resistance and highlighting the desperation of the Israeli regime. Ahead of International Quds Day, leaders of the resistance front from Iran, Iraq, Palestine, Lebanon, and Yemen appeared in a live televised address to discuss the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza and its ramifications. They all described Operation Al-Aqsa Flood as a milestone that has reshaped the global political landscape and has spelled the beginning of the end of Zionism. They all agreed that the operation has transformed into what they called Al-Ahrar Flood, or the Flood of Freedom. And with International Quds Day coming up, this has become the slogan of this year's rallies.
We will be observing International Quds Day this year while we are witnessing heart-wrenching atrocities and the killing of innocent children by Zionists.
Israeli analysts in their think tanks have come to the conclusion that they can no longer continue this war. They know that they will be facing very difficult challenges.
I would like to take the opportunity to thank the Islamic Republic of Iran for its relentless support for the resistance front in Gaza, in Iraq, in Lebanon, and in Yemen, and for taking responsibility.
And with all these 6 heavyweights addressing the gathering, without a doubt, the most important message is unity among resistance groups.
This year, International Quds Day is even more special because Operation Al-Quds Flood has revealed the true nature of the Zionist regime. We are witnessing a new world order taking shape with pro-Palestinian demonstrations in countries that used to be allies of Israel.
With the wind of change blowing, the exemplary resistance of Palestinians has proven in practice that normalizing relations with the Zionist regime is betting on a losing horse, as the speakers all pointed out.
Emphasizing on the 6-month resistance of the Palestinian people, the Flood of Freedom is the new slogan which is going to be used in the International Quds rallies on Friday. Gisum Shahmani, Tehran.
International Quds Day is an annual pro-Palestinian event marked on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. The day was designated by the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini, in 1979, in solidarity with Palestinians. Muslims worldwide will mark this year's Quds Day on the coming Friday. Our Kabul correspondent, Rahmatullah Baghban, has asked some Afghan people about the event and its importance in the Muslim world. Let's take a listen.
Islamic teachings and values instruct us to unite. We are nearly 2 billion Muslims worldwide. If we all had made a collective decision about Quds and Palestine, the occupying Israeli regime could not have done what it did in Gaza. But unfortunately, some Muslim leaders serve as traitors. It's a big shame. We all must stand for Palestine and the Al-Quds and fight to free it.
All Muslims worldwide must hold this belief that those who are massacred in Gaza are their brothers and sisters. All Muslims must unite on the axis of Al-Quds and raise their voices in protest against Israel and in solidarity with Gazans. The last Friday of Ramadan provides a good opportunity when we all mark the International Quds Day. Quds is occupied and we are determined to free it.
The International Quds Day, which is designated by Imam Khomeini, serves as a day of solidarity with Palestinians. It's important because on this day, all freedom seekers globally rally behind Al-Quds and the people of Gaza. It's important especially today when we are facing a war of narratives and information through the media. We all must take part and do whatever we can to protest and condemn Israeli crimes and support oppressed Gazans.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight.
A new report says the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden has authorized the transfer of billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets to the Israeli regime in recent days, amid Israel's ongoing genocidal war against Palestinians of Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The English website of Tasnim News Agency has covered this story and tells us more. The United States has reaffirmed its commitment to arming Israel despite growing anger inside and outside of the United States over the regime's atrocities in the Gaza Strip. A spokesperson for the State Department, Matthew Miller, on Monday 1st of April defended recent U.S. arms transfers to Israel, which included fighter jets and 900-kilogram bombs. When asked whether the weapons transferred damaged the credibility and sincerity of U.S. statements slamming the killing of too many civilians in Gaza, Matthew Miller said, "I do not agree with that at all." Miller claimed, "We have been very clear that we want to see Israel do everything it can to minimize civilian casualties. We have made clear that they need to operate at all times in full compliance with international humanitarian law. The official also reaffirmed the United States' long-term commitment to what he called Israel's right to self-defense, despite growing concerns about rights abuses in the Gaza Strip. Critics say the U.S. policy of arming Israel violates American laws prohibiting military aid and weapons sales to regimes engaged in human rights abuses. Several progressive lawmakers have called on President Biden to end his unconditional support for the Israeli regime. Recently, Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley stressed that the United States is complicit in the atrocities being committed in the Gaza Strip. Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley wrote in a series of social media posts, "We must also recognize that America is complicit in this tragedy by resupplying Israel with bombs and failing to use America's leverage to increase aid delivered into Gaza." Reflecting on the admonition to feed the hungry and assist the stranger, and blessed are the peacemakers, let's push Team Biden to do better, more aid, and no more bombs. Despite pressure to withhold arms from the Israeli regime, a U.S. report said on Monday 1st of April that Washington is considering major new weapons sales to Israel. Citing a congressional aide and a person familiar with the issue, the website Politico said the package includes up to 50 new F-15 fighter jets, 30 AIM 120 advanced medium-range air-to-air missiles, and a number of Joint Direct Attack Munitions kits, which turn dumb bombs into precision-guided weapons. The digital newspaper said the deals are pending U.S. government approval, but noting that the administration has already informally notified the relevant congressional committees, the report said that step typically means the administration is ready to move forward with the sale. The Washington Post has also covered the same story and tells us more. A new report says the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden has authorized the transfer of billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets to Israel in recent days, amid the Israeli regime's ongoing genocidal war against Palestinians of Gaza. Pentagon and the State Department said the new arms package includes more than 1,800 bombs. According to the report, these are 2,000-pound devices that can demolish entire city blocks and are rarely used in populated areas. However, the Zionist regime has used them extensively in the Gaza Strip. Some Democrats, including allies of President Biden, say the U.S. government has a responsibility to withhold weapons in the absence of an Israeli commitment to limit civilian casualties in Gaza. Senator Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat from Maryland, said in an interview, "The Biden administration needs to use their leverage effectively, and in my view, they should receive these basic commitments before greenlighting more bombs for Gaza." Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat from Maryland, added, "We need to back up what we say with what we do." Recently, the U.S. State Department authorized the transfer of 25 F-35 fighter jets and engines to the occupied Palestinian territories. Earlier reports said the United States had quietly made more than 100 weapon sales to Israel since the onslaught on Gaza began on 7th of October last year. The arms supplies go against the U.S. call for a ceasefire in Gaza. The Israeli regime began its hostilities in Gaza on 7th of October 2023 after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas carried out Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the usurping regime in retaliation for Israel's intensified atrocities against Palestinians. Israel has also cut off fuel, electricity, food and water to the more than 2 million Palestinian population of the Gaza Strip. Al Masira television channel has also reported on the same story and tells us more. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the U.S. administration of President Joe Biden is responsible for the crimes, massacres, and systematic destruction of civilian life in the Gaza Strip. Hamas issued a statement on Monday, 1st of April, after the terrorist Israeli occupation army retreated from Gaza's Al-Shifa medical complex and its surroundings after a two-week siege of the hospital. It said Israel's savage acts against the health sector and hospitals in Gaza are carried out with American weaponry and all forms of military and political support from Washington. In a statement on Monday, 1st of April, Gaza's health ministry said Israeli forces have withdrawn tanks and vehicles from Al-Shifa Hospital after a two-week siege of the medical facility. It emphasized that Israel retreated from the hospital after burning down the complex buildings and putting it completely out of service. It added that Israel's horrific crimes in Al-Shifa Hospital revealed the nature of this rogue fascist regime, which does not follow the values of civilization and humanity. The Hamas statement criticized world bodies and the international community for remaining silent in the face of Israel's crimes, which are fully and unlimitedly supported by the Biden administration. Hamas called on the international community and the United Nations to forthrightly condemn Israel's atrocities at Al-Shifa Hospital, its surroundings, and the citizens who were being treated inside the facility. It also asked them to immediately enter Gaza City and look for themselves the scale of crimes being committed by Israel at that location. Hamas called on international judicial bodies, particularly the International Criminal Court, the ICC, to start procedures to investigate Israel's atrocities at Al-Shifa Hospital and its surroundings. It said international judicial bodies are required to carry out their mandated mission to hold the Israeli leaders accountable for their actions and bring them to justice. Hamas once again reiterated that Israeli crimes will not weaken the resolve of the steadfast Palestinian people, and the Palestinians will continue to confront the Israeli aggression. The statement added, "We call on the free people of the world and the masses of our Arab and Muslim nations to rise up, to intensify their pressing movement against the savage enemy and its supporters, and provide all forms of support and backing to the Palestinians."
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Rabbana.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdu wa thana'u lillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salat wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His blessings and we send our salutations to the Holy Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, the last messenger of Allah, and to his pure progeny, and to all of his true followers throughout history, all the way until today. And we express our dissociation from anyone who opposes their cause and who expressed animosity to them. We have been speaking about the du'as of the beautiful book Sahifa Sajjadiyah, the legacy of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, and we got to the 12th du'a of this great book, his supplication in confession and in seeking repentance toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these days, these very golden moments that will have no guarantee to be repeated in our lives are the final moments and final days of the holy month of Ramadan. Most of the times, there is a decay in the volume of our worship and in the quality of our actions and deeds, especially after the finishing of Laylatul Qadr, the third Laylatul Qadr, which is the 23rd. Most of the times people are so ready to welcome the Eid al-Fitr, and they might express, exhaustion in regards to, you know, what they have been practicing in the past 2-3 decades or 20 to 30 days. But the point is to make sure that these remaining hours of this month is as important as the very beginning of this month. So let's take a break to come back and see what inshallah we have from Sahifa Sajjadiyah in this session.
Rabbana,
a path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. Rabbana.
All right, respected listeners, may Allah accept all your deeds and fastings during the month of Ramadan. We've got to the part that we said, we called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in number of most beautiful manners. And that was in the very midst of this dua. It says, وَيَا مَنْ تَحَمَّدَ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ بِحُسْنِ التَّجَاوُزِ. O the one who seeks his creature's praise with excellent forbearance. And وَيَا مَنْ عَوَّدَ عِبَادَهُ قَبُولَ الْإِنَابَةِ. O the one who will habituate his servants by accepting their repeated turnings, by the acceptance of their repeated turnings, who have accustomed your servants to be so. We have learned that one of the worst habits that anyone can adapt or get accustomed to is that if they made a tawbah, if they decided to abandon a habit, a deed, an action, and all of a sudden they broke their pledge or they couldn't keep up to their promise, so what? So now it's the time to go completely into the arms of shaitan and disobey Allah completely? No, that's not the case. That's in fact one of the techniques of shaitan to deceive us. They say, all right, you promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray on time on Laylatul Qadr, remember? And today you just forgot and you prayed on the very last possible moment permissible for praying, for offering Salat al-Fajr. Then, you know, let's abandon prayer. That's wrong. All right, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have chosen to postpone my salat. I shouldn't have procrastinated. But so what? Remember, sinning is the trap of shaitan to leave the circle of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should try to avoid falling into that trap. We should try our best to avoid entering into that trap, because that trap will cause us exiting from wilayatullah, from the guardianship of our Creator, our Lord. وَيَعْمَنْ عَوَّدَ إِبَادَهُ قَبُولَ الْإِبَادَةِ. O the one who has accustomed his servants to acceptance, to the acceptance of their repeated turnings. Let's take a quick break and come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio. So one of the lessons that we can take from this phrase of Sahifa Sajjadiyah taught to us by Imam Zainul Abidin, where he says, where he calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who accustomed his servants, his worshippers, to acceptance of repeated tawbah, repeated turnings to him. One of the very main lessons is that if you broke your pledge, do not let that be the end line. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have nowhere else to go. وَيَوْمَنْ اِسْتَصْلَحَ فَاسِدَهُمْ بِالتَّوْبَةِ. Oh, he who seeks to heal their corruption, the corruption of the people, through repentance. So, one of the consequences, or one of the good side benefits of tawbah, is that it heals the corruptions of what sinning has caused to us. What corruption itself causes is that things are misplaced. This is what corruption is defined as. Things not being in the spot they should be, right? That is corruption. So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal it? He heals it with tawbah. So by tawbah, one of the consequences or one of the benefits of tawbah is that whatever that has been corrupted will, inshallah, will be put back together in the spot that it should be put. For example, you made a mistake, and you know, you've caused hearts of many broken. By seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you tawfiq to seek their satisfaction as well. So, oh Allah, heal our corruptions with tawbah and help us to do so, inshallah, in the remaining time of the month of Ramadan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulema, that are Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In that episode of the Ramazan special series, we are going to speak about sensitivity towards sin, indecency and evil deeds with a look at Ayah 92 of Surah Tawbah of the Noble Quran. Stay with us, please. Among the characteristics that God likes very much, and every faithful should have it, is qayrat, which means sensitivity towards evil and sin. According to a hadith, God likes qayrat among the faithful. Qayrat means strong defense of dignity, face, family, religion, property, and country. This sensitivity acts like a vigilant police in the spirit of human being, guarding red lines and boundaries. It urges us to be alert against evil acts and sin. A hadith from the Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, reads, Allah assigned two angels to punish a city. The people of the city were very rude and immoral. They felt no regret for their sins and did not give up their evil deeds. Allah sent them to raise the city to the ground. They saw a worshipper among the people who was praying, crying, and supplicating. One of the angels told the other, Let us go and ask him again. The other angel said, Do your duty. The first one said, Perhaps the command has changed as the man may have repented. Wait so that I ask for our duty again. So that angel went back and asked Allah, as he had seen a worshipper among the people. Allah said, The duty is the same. Go to the city and destroy it. Then Allah added, It is true that this man is engaged in worship and prayer, but he is never upset and angry with the sin of others, and disrespect to the divine laws, and his face didn't change. He has no religious sensitivity. The sensitivity of persons towards belief and religion is inevitable. The deeper is one's belief in his religion, the more sensitive he will be toward religion. The opposite of religious sensitivity is compromise and coming short on religious red lines and principles. This is called pliability and indifference. A sensitive person cannot tolerate insulting of divine laws, principles, and sanctities. When God obligates something, He wants it to be done. As we said in the beginning of this episode, Ayah 92 of Surah Tawbah is somehow related to this issue. Nor is there any blame on those to whom, when they came to you to provide them with a mount, you said, I do not find any mount for you. They turned back while their eyes were flowing with tears, grieved because they did not find any means to spend. Those faithful had no means for jihad, but religious sensitivity made them very upset and they cried in grief. Today, some people insist on ignoring of religious values and principles, saying, in the modern time, we shouldn't be sensitive and rigid towards values. We should endure all tastes, ideas, and behaviors, and give them chance to show themselves. The pliable people think that if person does an indecent act in public, insults sanctities, rights profanities, we should not react. They argue that not everybody thinks the same in society and everyone have their own idea. So, if we want to live comfortably, we have to tolerate them. They even attribute their justification to some Quranic ayahs. For instance, they mention ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah, part of which reads, Allah desires ease for you, and He does not desire hardship for you. They also resort to ayah 21 of Surah Al-Ghashiyah. So admonish for you are only an admonisher. But these people should be asked as what is their opinion on ayah 19 of Surah Al-Imran, part of which reads, Indeed, with Allah, religion is Islam. Or, what do they think about ayah 73 of Surah Tawbah, part of which reads, O Prophet, wage jihad against the faithless and the hypocrites and be severe with them. We should not forget that tolerance and taking easy of religious laws not only is accepted, but also it is the origin of religion. And if taking easy means to spread Islam through argument and logical debate, it is correct. Yet, one cannot come short and be indifferent against affronts towards religious values. We read in history that a delegation came to the Prophet and told him, We will pay allegiance to you with three conditions. We will not perform daily ritual prayer. We will not break our idols ourselves. And let the idol Lot to remain for 1 year so that we can worship it. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, There is no use in the religion that has no bowing and prostration. As for breaking of your idols, if you don't want to break them, we will break them. But on worshipping of Lot, I will never give you such a permission. Sure, the Prophet stood firmly against their excessive and illogical demands and rejected them. It has also been narrated on the revelation of Surah Kafirun that chiefs of polytheists came up to the Prophet and told him, O Muhammad, you obey your religion so that we obey yours and make you our partner in all our privileges. You worship our deities for 1 year and the following year we will worship your God. The Messenger of Mercy told them, I take refuge with God that I may ascribe and associate to Him. Then the Prophet came to the sacred mosque after the revelation of this surah and told the chiefs of polytheists, O you the faithless, I will never worship what you worship.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In the month of Ramadan, we are already in the blessed nights. There's a beautiful hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam where he says, Ya Usama, alayka bis-sawm fa innahu qurbatun ila Allah. You know, my brother and sisters, in the month of Ramadan, mu'min in general is always looking for the means of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'min, you know, we have our actions, our wajibat, or mustahabbat, or the common deeds. If I put my cup on the right side or left side, it is mubah amal. Mubah means there's no direction. It's not wajib, it's not mustahab, it's your job. Put it right way or put it left way, there's nothing. But mu'min is always looking something which makes himself more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's see if I found something in hadith. Let's say just an example. When Rasulullah used to drink water, he used to sit down in the night time and then drink water. So as soon as we understand this point, Rasulullah used to drink water while he was sitting in the night times, mu'min is not going to miss this chance. When mu'min will drink water in the night time, he will sit down and then will drink water. He don't know, mu'min doesn't know that it is mustahab or wajib. As far as he found this hadith, he considered this hadith as a value, and he will take this thing in his life as a value. Rasulullah says here, Ya Usama, alayka bis-sawm fa innahu qurbatun ila Allah. Usama, if you want to go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to become more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, That is sawm, that is fasting. Then fast. Whenever you feel you're away, you're far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start first fasting couple of days. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day. Because this fasting will make you close. In the month of Ramadan, there's another hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam where he says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٍ. For everything there is a spring. وَالرَّبِيعُ الْقُرْآنِ شهر رمضان والربيع القرآن شهر رمضان. And the spring of Quran is in the month of Ramadan. So my brothers, in the month of Ramadan, you're already fasting. So according to Rasulullah, to that, in that hadith which is narrated, which is told to Usama bin Zayd, I guess. Usama, alayka bis-sawm fa innahu qurbatun ila Allah. Fast, because fasting is a means, it's a strong mean for closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in this second part of this, there's another hadith from Imam Baqir says, for everything there's a spring, and the spring of Quran is Ramadan. Means you now, you're already fasting in the month of Ramadan. So now recite Quran more. And I always insist on it, my brother and sister, recite Quran in Arabic, there's a sawab in it. But when you recite Quran while understanding it, you recite the translation in what language you speak, Arabic, English, Farsi, Urdu, Hindi, or any other language. If you recite Quran and you understand it, then Quran will be alive in your life. Then you connect yourself with Quranic values. Then you connect yourself with Quranic likes and dislikes, with godly dislikes and likes and dislikes. So make sure, get help from Quran, from reciting Quran, from understanding Quran, from thinking deeply in Quran. And that's the key. That's the key. Recite Quran with the translation, with the understanding, meaning of Quran. And then beside this, when you're fasting, you're already getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are fasting and you are in the month of Ramadan and you're getting help from Quran. All together will generate or create a situation for you when you that it will take you very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to be close to Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Doing us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Iraq, Pakistan, Oman, Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Cuba, Venezuela, China, and Russia have all slammed the Israeli airstrike on Iran's embassy in Damascus, Syria. Yet the so-called flag bearers of international law and conventions in the West have kept mum about Israel's blatant violation of international law. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has vowed that Tehran will make the occupation regime regret its deadly airstrike on the Iran embassy in Damascus. Welcome to The Spotlight. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Let's get us started. These are my guests in this episode of The Spotlight. Now, Vanessa Bila, independent journalist, is joining me out of Damascus. Also with us is Richard Merthurst. He's a journalist and commentator in Vienna.